This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 171 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and with me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again, Mr. Shelton Muller. How are you?
Good evening, sir. I am well. How are you?
Bloody hot.
Really? You were born that way, dude. Deal with it.
Nice. Yeah. Thanks, mate. Checks in the mail. No, it's just been a real warm one here today. Like, we've had a month of rain here in Sydney.
A month of rain.
Seriously, it's just been almost non-stop for a month.
So you've got lots of humidity up there at the moment.
It is,
right?
Very humid today. Yeah, I mean, today it got quite warm. Like, it got up to about 30 degrees, and it was sunny, and it was beautiful. But yes, yeah, quite humid,
steamy, and sweaty.
And the fact that I'm sitting here in a closed room with no windows open because I like a quiet recording, drinking a hot cup of coffee is not helping.
No, probably not. Maybe you should have, you know, a nice cold glass or something with a, you know, like a beer or a nice cold orange juice or some ice cubes with it. Yeah. Something like that might be a little more appropriate. I'm sitting here nursing a glass of water. That's how, you know, rebellious I'm feeling.
You're
tonight.
So rock.
Oh, yeah, rocking, mate. Yeah, rocking, yeah. That's water, mate, water. Two atoms of hydrogen, mate. Pure hydrogen, mate. Yeah, that's right, rocking.
So, mate, you're just back from Brisbane.
I am. Had a great time up there.
Yeah?
As I said in the blog that I wrote today, my blog update, it's a very daunting thing when you plan over an event interstate and you're expecting and hoping that people will come. But,
sure,
you know, it's the old adage, I suppose, if you build it, they will come. And, you know, we've got a bit of a following, a bit of popularity up there. People have raved about our workshops before.
Yep.
And so they've told their friends. We had some, you know, people come back from previous workshops who just can't get enough. And we had a lot of newies, you know, met some new people who came as well. That was really fantastic.
Awesome.
Absolutely fabulous. So we did, first day was a two-on-one, Glyn and I helping a particular customer with her studio problems.
Right.
So we spent the day, you know, with her studio and helping her sort out her lighting. Then we did 5 days of full day workshops, which were, which went very, very well. The interesting thing about our weather, the way CPW deals with weather, as we've spoken about on the podcast before, CPW meaning Can Produce Weather, not Creative Photo Workshops.
Right.
Every time, like the first day we arrived, we had a studio workshop, beautiful day outside, gorgeous day. Oh, man. The following day, we had a wedding photography workshop, pouring down with rain, awful. You know, we had to find another venue at the last minute, and we went to the Breakfast Creek Hotel in Brisbane, which is a fantastic venue.
Well, I hope that despite the yucky weather, you explained to your paying members of the workshop how to deal with that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, obviously, you know, I said this to Scott and Stacey, whose wedding I'm shooting in a couple of weeks. You know, when we went out to do that pre-wedding shoot, you know, they rang me on the morning and they said, we're still doing this, you know, with the rain. And I went, hell yeah, because come your wedding day, you know, this is the one thing you cannot control.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you usually in a wedding, I always in the interview situation suggest to the couple that they have a plan B location.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just in case, especially if it's in the more winter seasons or the more unpredictable months, definitely have a plan B location. You don't want to be standing in the rain and cold if you can possibly help it. I mean, a good photographer can shoot in anything.
Yep.
But it's you know, them being wet and cold and miserable. And so if you've got a plan B interior, then that's great. We didn't have a plan B interior. So we called, someone recommended the Breakfast Creek Hotel.
Okay.
In Brisbane, in Breakfast Creek, of all places. Guess what? Yeah. And they were great. They just said, yeah, come on down. And we asked them if they wanted any money. No. They were fantastic. They were really, really great. So we managed to do a great afternoon shoot down there.
Cool.
And, you know, on all the days that we wanted, you know, good weather, you know, well, sort of seemed to be off and on. But that's just the way it is. And look, you know, for our workshops, we like to basically say it doesn't really matter. In truth, we certainly like to give our customers the best experience possible.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the other thing is, of course, the images that go up on Facebook that say, hey, took this at the Creative Photo Workshop's wedding workshop, and it looks like rubbish. You know, that doesn't go down very well for our business. And we, you know, you can't explain, oh, it was a really rainy day and la, 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 and Shelton and Glenn had all these other intentions. You can't do that. The pictures have to be good. So I was, you know, happy to find out that, you know, they'd accepted our request, and we went on down there, which was really good. But the other days were, you know, were much better. And all in all, it was a very successful series of workshops. There were some people who came to every day of the workshop. We had people fly down from Cairns, fly in from Hamilton Island, come up from Byron Bay. Robin, who was also known as Brian, we have a regular Brian. If there's two people of the same name, one of them becomes Brian.
Right. Okay.
So Robin, a lady from out the back of Burke somewhere, she became Brian, and yeah, she drove in from the back of Burke somewhere and was with us every day.
And, seriously, she drove that far?
Well, I'm not sure. I can't remember whether she stayed somewhere or, you know, was or she came from their country town, but I think she was staying somewhere.
Right.
And she came every day to our workshops, which was really lovely. Yeah. I mean, they varied too. I mean, everything from natural light portraiture to, you know, advanced flash and studio. We did all of those things, and you know, she came, and that was really terrific. And then there was people who'd been to our workshops before and just wanted to come and refresh, which was really terrific. So all in all, it went very well, except for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
One thing. When we hire models, you know, we will go to Model Mayhem, we'll do a casting call, we'll get people respond.
Yep.
And my first response to them is, look, love to work with you, love your look, I'm sure you'd be just fine. But you have to be reliable. You have to turn up. If you say you're going to be there, make sure you're going to be there. Because we last time we were in the Gold Coast in Brisbane, we booked 8 models, and 1 out of the 8 turned up.
Wow.
And at the last minute, you know, you're asking customers, oh, do you know anybody? Oh, and it's just so unprofessional.
Yep.
And so unpredictable. And most of the models did very well. We worked with Eve Hendricks, who is just beautiful and such a sweet girl, and you know, was very, very helpful at our workshops. Rob Bampton, who is not just a model but has now started a modeling agency, so we'll be finding all our models through him up there in the future. And you know, we had some lovely, great other models turn up on other days, but one in particular that let us down will never ever get my business or my recommendation ever again. Her name is Mud.
Yeah,
she turned up for one of our workshops,
right?
And she was fine to work on a sort of pictures and payment basis. And she asked for, she promised me in her emails, in her correspondence, that she would be there every day, that she's promised to be there. And she said, oh, I hate it when models promise and they don't turn up. It gives us all a bad name and blah, blah, blah. So I was really pleased that she had this attitude.
Yeah.
So she turned up for one of our workshops. And I mean, she's nothing spectacular. She's a pretty little girl, I suppose, but nothing spectacular. And she asked us if she could have some payment, not only for the travel for today, etc., but also payment in advance. And then we never saw her again.
Oh, what?
Never saw her again. And yeah, we texted her, we called her, we Facebooked her, we emailed her. I got other people to call her from their phones in case she was trying to avoid my number. Nah, nothing.
Wow.
Since emailed her and texted her and Facebooked her again, and she's just deliberately saying to hell with you, because I would prefer that she just email me back and say, look, I couldn't be bothered, all right? And you know, okay, fair enough, if you couldn't be bothered, then that's your problem, but at least say something, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the Queensland photographers who are up there know who she is, and I've already heard reports from other photographers that they will never work with her again.
Wow.
You know, apparently she turned up for one shoot. I got a call from a photographer today who said that this model turned up for one shoot, and a male model turned up. She said, oh, no, I'm going. No, I'm not, if there's a male model here, I'm not sticking around. I'm not
what?
Working with. Yep. And she said, I've had issues with men before and male models. I'm just leaving. It was now up to the photographer, who needed a female model more than a male model, to decide which of the two. And she had to send the male model back.
What?
Yep. She had no time to organize another female model. But, you know, I mean, if the girl has problems with men, yeah, model seems like a good career choice.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I've had problems with men, so I'll become a model.
Yeah,
a lot of men are photographers, a lot of men are makeup artists, a lot of men are hairdressers, a lot of men are models, and a lot of men are magazine editors and design artists. And yeah, I'd suggest you just go crawl in a hole and or go to some country where there's only women.
But
her name's Mud. And she really let us down. At the last minute, we're calling Rob if he can come up with somebody for a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, who's available Sunday afternoon at less short notice? But Rob found us somebody. And Nicole, you know, she was fabulous. She was a really lovely girl. And she was not a model, but she was happy to help out. And she was certainly pretty enough. And everything went well. But honestly, photographers, if you're hiring models off Model Mayhem, you make sure that you read the riot act to them about turning up.
Yeah, I mean, I've had the same issue, month in, month out.
Really?
With Model Mayhem, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's frustrating, particularly when you're offering them decent money, mm-hmm. which I generally have. Mm-hmm. I've never asked them to work just for prints only. I've always offered them, cash payment, like, on the day, and still had them not show up.
Yep, we cash pay on the day as well. You know, and they just don't show up. So, you know, that was just the only drawback. The only thing negative that I could say, you know, happened, apart from a little bit of weather issues. But all in all, the workshops went very, very well. Extremely rewarding, very tiring. I found myself in the last few minutes of the last day of the last workshop trying to sort a flash photography issue out. We were working with two flash guns, making them balance with the daylight and all that kind of thing. And oh man, I was saying some stupid things. I don't know what drugs I was on, but the last 10 minutes I was trying to do the shot and I'm realizing, oh, you can't do that. Sheldon, you've been teaching these people that this is impossible, and there you go trying to do it. So I realized that I'd cooked my brains, but it was the last 10 minutes of the last day, so that it was all right. went very, very well.
So listen, without revealing who the client was, can you elaborate on the one-on-one that you did the first day? Like, what sort of issues was this person having with their lighting setup, and what was it that needed to be corrected?
Look, I suppose it was just a case of needing to start, you know, this photographer had just bought her studio equipment and set it up, and bang, off she went. Right.
Yep.
She didn't really, I don't, to my knowledge, take any studio lighting courses or anything like that. She just, you know, set it all up, bang, and hoped for the best. And what the problem was is she hadn't sort of disassembled her lighting in terms of what she wanted to produce and how to produce it. She would just turn all the lights on and off she go. And we started right from the very start with her. We said, right, this is one light, one flash head, with one softbox on the front. What can you do with this? And we showed her all sorts of things you can do with this. Then, when do you add a second light? Well, let's separate her hair a little bit. Use a hair light, separate from the backdrop, you know, or turn it around and actually, you know, put a nice sort of bit of a spotlight, you know, or the grid on the backdrop to separate the, you know, hair or the subject from the back. And we just sort of slowly built and showed her basically the main kinds of studio, you know, lighting, Rembrandt and glamour or butterfly lighting and Hollywood lighting, your broad and narrow lighting. And then she does a lot of maternity, so we showed her an ideal sort of setup with the back where it's sort of rim-lit, backlit for pregnancy, which looks very, very nice. And she was very pleased with that. But where a lot of photographers make the mistake is that they'll buy three flash heads, put them all on stands, all put brollies and softboxes on them, turn them all on, and bang away, you know?
That sounds like me.
Oh, really?
Well, as I said, you and I had a conversation on the phone a few weeks back where I said, you know, I was trying to do some just some tasteful boudoir stuff with Kath, you know, and yep. And I fell into exactly that trap.
By the way, you never did send me those photos, you know. You know, I gave you a good 20 quid for those and you never sent me nothing. You know what I mean? So, hello. We've been milking you, mate. Sorry, I interrupted. Yeah, so you turned off the lights on.
But yeah, I did exactly the same thing, you know, where I, you know, set three lights up all at once and was then trying to work out why I couldn't get the look that I wanted. And I think I said to you on the phone, you know, the day or two afterwards that, you know, maybe that was my problem was, you know, as Dave Honnell suggested, you know, just start with one light and just, mm-hmm. you know, dial that in. And once you've got that where you want it and throwing light where you want it and all that kind of stuff, then introduce your second light. So, yeah, so... I put yep. my hand up. I'm guilty. I've done it.
Look, mate, you're not alone. Most photographers tend to begin with overlighting.
Right.
You know, and in our Studio Essentials workshop, in our off-camera flash or advanced flash even workshop, and, you know, for this particular lady, we started with the simplest thing, which is just one light through one modifier, which in this case was her softbox.
Yep.
And then we just took it from there. Now, I wouldn't necessarily always only, or very rarely would I only use one light, but when you're teaching, you start with one.
Yeah.
And you show where the shadows fall, why you want them to fall that way, you know, where the highlights are, how the face is shaped and sculpted by that light. And then once that is understood, then add the second light. If you turn them all on, you don't really see the effect of each one of them being built into, as
no.
indeed Dave Connell also said, you know, being built into the photograph. And you don't know how good it can be. You think it's good to start with, and then you add that little touch of hair light, boom, from the back with a grid, you know, ooh, that's nice. And,
yeah.
you know, the man, you sort of do the cross lighting with the grids to sort of chisel the cheeks and jaw. You know, or whatever it might be, but you don't know how good it can be unless you actually start with one light and you go, yeah, that's nice. Ooh, that's very nice. One light, and then add a reflector even before you turn on another light, et cetera, et cetera. So we just built with her and showed her the, you know, the many ways you build with just one light and why you would add the second or the third, et cetera, et cetera. So by the end of the day, she had a whole bunch of principles up her sleeve that she could just use her imagination with to go about lighting up her portraits and, you know, her maternity photographs and baby photographs and that kind of thing that she does. So, you know, we were very pleased with that. That went very, very well.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it wasn't an equipment failure error or anything like that. It was just operator error.
Yeah, operator error. And, well, she didn't understand her flash heads either, what the yeah. dials, that these the dials meant, and, you know, why when you turned one, the modeling light wasn't affected, et cetera, et cetera. So we went through a few of those things with her as well. And I can understand, you know, how daunting that can be. You know, and it depends on your mind as well. I'm not particularly mechanically minded. But often I find, and I've this is not a... generality. It's just something I found. Women can be extremely creative, often far more creative than men.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very passionate about their photography. They're very in touch with, you know, especially women when they photograph them. They're very in touch with things. They do beautiful children and pregnancy photography.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's their, you know, that's the nature of woman coming out in them. But where women often tend to get muddled up is in their lack of desire to learn about the sciences and the technicalities that are naturally associated with an understanding of light, an understanding of photography.
Yeah.
And that's why I think our workshops are 60 to 70% women most of the time.
Yeah.
They want to take great photographs. They want to learn, but, you know, they would rather just start straight off with the creativity and get stuck straight in rather than, you know, stop and nut it all out and et cetera, be methodical like perhaps the more male mind can be. I don't know. My mind is male, but it certainly isn't methodical. So
this is why you started a workshop business, isn't it? So you can pick up chicks.
Pick up chicks. Yeah, absolutely, mate. No worries. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I, you know, I didn't think of that. Yeah, it sort of work, really. But, you know, and well, look, Glenn and I are extremely charming and handsome men, so it wouldn't be an issue. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. So, men, if you want to pick up women, start a photography workshop. I don't want to, you know, I've been in enough trouble as it is. But, you know, if that idea suits you, then there's a good idea. But, you know, don't destroy the industry in the process, will you? Don't give it a bad name, you know? That's all I can say.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I got shifting topic. I got contacted by a guy, Rod Thomas, who's up on the central coast of New South Wales, so a couple of hours north of Sydney. And he'd been in touch. I don't know how he knew Natalie, but he'd been in touch with Natalie DePetta.
Right.
Who basically pointed him to me. She said, you know, get in touch with this guy, Bruce. So he got in touch with me, and he said, listen, you know, this is me. I'm up here on the Central Coast. Have you ever heard of F-stop camera bags? And I said, no, I haven't. And he said, well, basically, they're this, you know, camera bag that's not available in Australia at the moment, and I'm thinking of importing them. And he said, can I send you one? And I said, okay, sure. So
no, you said, no, don't send me one.
Well, I don't get to keep it unless I pay for it, yeah.
Well, you've just given it a big ad on Shutters Inc., mate, honestly.
So anyway, he sent me this bag, but what's really interesting about this bag, right, is it's designed like a backpack, okay? But it's unique in the sense that, well, there's a couple of things that make it unique. It doesn't unzip on the outside of the backpack. The panel that unzips is the padded panel that rests against your back.
Mm.
Okay, so it's sort of like the inside portion of the backpack is the part that opens up. But what I found really interesting about the design of these camera bags is that they have a second bag which goes inside the backpack. And the manufacturer calls it an ICU, an internal camera unit. And essentially what it is it's like, imagine a miniature low-pro bag where you've got all your little Velcro dividers that you can rip out and reposition. Yep. And basically these ICUs are just big enough that you can put an SLR with a 70-200 2.8 lens on there in the ICU. And you would still have space for probably another 4 or maybe 6 lenses, depending on the size of your other lenses, and or flash heads or filters, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But the whole point of having this internal camera unit bag was that if you get harassed at the airport where they say, no, your backpack's too big for carry-on luggage, you just open it up, pull out the ICU, zip it up, check your backpack in under the plane, but you take the ICU with you onto the plane because the ICU is quite small.
Oh.
And I thought, nice. What a great idea. Yeah, so he sent me just one of their bags. That, like, they have a whole range of these bags, and, yeah, they're really well made, and I've got all my gear in that at the moment, so my low-pro's just sitting there waiting to be loved. Well, I'm just giving it a bit of a try.
So he might not get it back, is that what you're saying?
We'll see.
Look, geez, mate, I had a bit of a problem, you know. Yeah, it fell off the truck, and mate, you know. But look, I gave it a bit of a razz on the old Shutters Inc., you know. So, so where does one find out more about said F-stop bags, Bruce?
Just, I think the website is fstop.com.
Oh, okay.
I will find the link and put it in the show notes. But yeah, apparently these are already on the market in America and other parts of the world, but there's just no one representing them here in Australia at the moment. And
that's what he's thinking of doing?
Yeah. So I said, well, yeah, you know, let me have a play with it and give it a bit of a field test. And I said, oh, you know, if I like it, I'll be happy to talk about it. And yeah, I think it's a great design idea because I know what it's like. You know, I've had some looks with my Pro Roller when I've got to the airport.
Yeah.
You know, and
which one have you got?
I've got the 450, which is pretty big.
That's a big one, yeah. See, the 100 doesn't give us any issues. The only thing that when we're traveling, Glyn and I, with a 100, airlines are getting really pernickety now. I must admit, you know, they're weighing your on board, your carry on.
Yeah, right.
And you know, I'm usually about 17 kilos or something, you know. What we basically say is, oh, look, I'll take a couple of cameras out and I'll carry them. Now, they will let you do that. So what you have to sort of show them in front of them that you're taking a couple of, and you got to put them over your shoulders. Yep. And then, you know, look, admittedly, by the time you get, you got to put it all back when you go through screening again. So what the hell?
Yeah, exactly.
You
know?
But the Pro Roller 100 does not actually look too big. So we just sort of pull it along with our little pinky finger through the airport. Look how light it is. And only, you know, some airlines are weighing them now. But hey, you know.
Thankfully, I've not had that happen to me yet.
Oh, well, maybe it's just a look on our faces or something. But we've had them weighed recently on a certain airline. You're a tiger airline. We had them. Yeah, we had a little bit of an issue. But hey, what can you do? You know. We'll see I'd like to have a look, and if you can put the show notes, the link in the show notes, I'd like to have a look at them.
Yeah, well, I'll send you a link.
I'll never stray from my good friends at Low Pro, of course, but
of course.
I'll certainly have a good look at the bag, you know. Look, the Australian market is a little bit flooded with bags. That's my only concern to your friend.
Yep.
Because, you know, we're only 20 million here, and we've got Low Pro, and we've got Tamrac, and we've got, Kata, and we got... heaps of others. They'll just come to me later.
Well, I did say to him, I said, you know, what's your business plan? Are you going to talk to, you know, retail and that sort of thing? And he said, yes. And we got talking, and I happened to mention Digital Camera Warehouse. And I said to him, I said, mate, I know you've probably got next to no chance of getting in there, simply because I remember John Swainston telling me the thing about DCW is they are 100% committed to each brand that they carry. And because they carry Low Pro, they're 100% committed to Low Pro. You know, like they have just about every single model of every single piece of gear that Low Pro's ever made in stock all the time, you know. So the chances of getting them to carry another brand is almost impossible. Because John was bemoaning the fact that they carry Manfrotto tripods, and so he can't get Velbon in there.
Yeah. That's the thing, unfortunately.
But in a way, that's a good thing too. You know, to know that a retailer like that, who are also quite a big online retailer, are so committed to their product.
Yes. Yeah.
Good
yeah,
ad. That's good ad. Thing. DCW.
Yeah. There you go. Camera Warehouse. There you go.
I've just looked up that thing. It's fstopgear.com.
Oh, okay. All right.
No hyphen, just fstopgear.com.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah, so
check them out, gang. Check them out, you know. They seem like, interesting. If Bruce likes it, then that's Bruce has seen his share of bags. He's dated you, haven't you? Sort of.
Not going near that.
It's a good thing you got Kath, I tell you, in the end, man. It all came good. It all came good. But, you know, speaking of photo retailers, by the way, got to thank Photo Continental in Brisbane.
Oh, okay.
They were I suppose the official, unofficial supporters of our sponsors, retail sponsors of our workshops up in Brisbane. They gave us their big workshop room underneath. They allowed us to use all their lighting and stands and soft boxes and everything. They were just fantastic. So if you are up in the Gold Coast or Brisbane, please go to a place like Photo Continental. They are awesome, awesome photo retailers. They're really switched on. And, they've got lots of gear there. The people are good, and they've been very kind to me. So if you want to buy something, you know, go to them. Even if you're not in the state, buy it online off them or something. But they were really, really fantastic. I had an interesting thing happen when I got back. I got back on the very early Tuesday morning.
Right.
I had to go straight to a Nikon event.
The launch of the D7000.
That was taking place at the at the golf here with the Tiger Woods, JB Weir, you know, golf championships. And they had a, you know, a marquee set up and, you know, la, 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 all very, very nice, you know, for the photographers. So, yeah, we came down and we went down and had a look at the new Nikon D7000. And we went around in golf carts and we photographed players and we went to the different Nikon posts where they have, you know, places for photographers to, you know, put themselves and photograph the golf during the game, et cetera, et cetera. So we had a look at the new D7000. I must admit, I'm mightily impressed. Mightily impressed. And that's not just because I love my Nikons, but this is a particularly lovely little camera, I got to tell you. It's really, really good. And in some ways is a beautiful step forward in terms of the DSLR video kind of thing. And no, I didn't ask the question whether it was 24-bit. however, DP Review might help me with that.
Okay.
But I'm really not sure, I must admit. That.
But you like the camera?
Look, I did. I really did. It's typically Nikon ergonomic. I like the way Nikons lay out their cameras, and I find them far less menu-based than other cameras, especially where the important things are concerned. White balance, ISO, your metering, of course. But, you know, usually you don't have to trawl through the menu to go through those things. There usually is a button on the back of the camera or on the top of the camera somewhere.
Yep.
That's all, of course, the case with the D7000. It's a 16.2 megapixel camera, CMOS sensor, APS-C size sensor, very, very nice focusing. ISO, this is a change for Nikon, 100, because usually they're...
Oh, nice.
Yep, but this is an ISO 100 through to 6400, and then it goes H1 and H2, which is equivalent to what would it be, 12,800 and 25-ish thousand ISO.
Yep.
And, you know, lots of different, you know, other features, focusing and all those kinds of things. What I liked, there were a few things I liked about it that were very functional. I'm not one for technology, as you know. If it's got 160 focus points and a blah, 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 I only use one, so you can keep the other 159 or whatever many you got, but that's just me. So I don't get fascinated by those things. I get fascinated by things that are functional and interesting and just smart. And the, you know, everybody, what they consider smart would be different. But for me, certain little things like, you know, that this camera has that are smart. It takes an SD card. So it's not designed for the working professional because it would be compact flash if that was the case.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, there's no reason a professional couldn't use this because Nikon are placing it squarely between the D90 and the D300S.
Wow.
So it's not. Yeah, that's where they're fitting it. And price-wise, it will fit between there as well. So, you know, if you're a D90 user, then that would be the next step up. If you're a D300S and you wanted a backup body, it might be the next, you know, the next step down. But, you know, ups and downs are all relative because this camera has new things going on that the other cameras don't, like a 16.2 megapixel CMOS sensor, which the D90, I think, is 12. So, you know, you've got those little things, not that we're big on pixels here, but, you know, megapixels and whatnot. But it has a very quick live view mode.
Right.
If you like live view, like on my D700, I have live view, but in order for me to access it, I have to turn a knob on the top of the camera, which I can't see unless I'm looking down at the camera. What often happens though, what I find is if I'm in a crowd and I want to go live view, I've already raised the camera above my head thinking, oh, I've got to shoot this from overhead. And then I realize, oh, why don't I do this live view? Then I've got to bring the camera back down to my eye, go to live view on the top, then put it back up again. Now on the D7000, it's a one touch on the back of the camera.
Oh,
so
nice.
You raise the camera, bam, live view, one touch. You know, it's a flick of a switch on the back. What's also beautiful about that is that if you wanted then to video, there's a button inside that switch that is one touch, bam, video. And immediately 1080p high resolution video starts recording up to 12 minutes.
Wow.
So that's really good. Now here's the interesting thing about the D7000 that we were talking about a few weeks ago when we were talking video in SLRs. The D7000 automatically focuses in video mode.
Right.
Which, this is great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is good stuff because the others don't. They're all manual focus.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. This,
yeah, you cannot automatically focus with the other cameras. You have to manually focus. The D7000 auto-focuses in video mode. Wow. I knew they'd have to come to it sooner or later. I couldn't see why they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know nothing about technology, but it seemed logical to me that if the thing focuses in still, sure as hell it can focus in video.
You'd reckon.
Some way they got it. Yeah. So that's what they've done. It focuses now. So basically it's a, you know, 1080p high-res digital video camera with, yes, a jack for external microphone. But again, you'd have to go into the details for the sound. I didn't, you know, ask much about the sound because I'm not the same kind of sound guy that you are, dude.
Hey, the whole autofocus thing has got me intrigued because that would have to be fairly taxing on your battery, I would imagine. If your lens is continually auto-focusing, that would have to really hit your battery, wouldn't it?
I would imagine so. I haven't sort of looked at it, but the Nikon batteries, as with all batteries these days, are pretty damn good. And, I'd say the focusing is getting faster. The lenses are getting lighter, so it's probably going to be easier for it. But carry some spares. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'd say the whole video thing would be draining on batteries, you know, with a live view screen and the constant working of the chip and et cetera, there'd be a fair bit of drain on the batteries as against still photography. But I've never really researched it, I must admit. As I said, not being a video guy. Well, I must admit, though, that if I had a D7000, and I do hope to get my mitts on one very, very soon, I want to take one away because we're off to Perth in a week and a half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got to do workshops up there. So actually, not even that. We're off to Perth in about 7 days or something. I want to do work. We're doing workshops over there. So if I can get my hands on one before that, then that would be great. I'll be able to come back with a full report on the thing and like take it away and, you know, never give it back. But it's 6 frames per second continuous shooting too, which I thought was pretty cool.
In still mode?
Yeah, in still mode, yeah. And, you know, it's a really lovely, nicely built camera. I was very, very impressed. You know, I've seen the D3000 and the D3100 and the D5000, and they're nice, but they're amateur cameras. They're sort of, you know, down that, you know, enthusiast sort of, not even quite serious enthusiast level, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And suddenly, bang, you know, the D7000 comes out. It's got those same numerals, you know, 3, 5, 7,000. I would have thought it'd be more in that class. But Nikon have placed it squarely above the D90. Now, I know professionals who are using the D90, semi-professionals at the very least, who are using the D90. My son Nathan uses his D90 for lots of beautiful wedding work that he does. And, you know, so if the D7000 is above that, wow, you know, that's a hell of a camera. I've really scratched the surface of my knowledge on this camera, but I was very impressed. I wasn't actually, as much as I love my Nikons, I wasn't actually expecting to be quite as impressed. But the JPEGs straight out of the camera, and I took my share of them that day, are really quite nice. Lovely indeed.
Cool.
You know? Yeah, so, you know, check it out. It'll be in stores relatively soon if it isn't already in your part of the world. Highly recommend it in that price bracket. Very, very nice. And, I mean, it's the latest camera in its price bracket in Australia around the 2000 mark. Wow. So, you know, it would probably be, for the moment at the very least, the most up-to-date digital camera and probably the best in its class. Until, of course, well, whoever comes out with whatever, you know, to put their stamp on that. And that's the way the industry goes, of course. But really mighty little camera. I was very, very impressed.
Mm.
I'll see if I can get a blog post up about it soon because I took my share of pictures, so I might write something about it. I've just got so much blogging to catch up with. I still haven't finished talking about our tour of the States, and I'm blogging about Brisbane.
Yep.
So I'm going... back and forth, you know, like a repentant boyfriend, you know?
Right. Oh, dear.
Any analogy, it was only metaphor I could come up with. Was that a metaphor or a simile? Simile, I think. A simile is when something is like something, isn't it?
I'll take your word for it.
Yes. All right. Yeah.
Hey, I might be on the verge of another commercial gig.
Really?
Mm.
Come on, man. Give the rest of us a break. What's going on?
She said, what are you doing the week of the 13th of December? And I said, oh, that's actually the week I go on holidays. I said, we're leaving Sydney middle of the week to head to Queensland.
And so I can't do it, but my friend Shelton can. Is that what you said?
No.
Oh,
bummer. Sorry, mate.
And, yeah, thanks, mate.
And she said, oh, bummer. And I said, oh, why? What'd you have in mind? And she said, oh, so I want to send you up north again with a well-known, I'm not going to name names just yet, but with a well-known Australian actor, TV host.
Mel Gibson, isn't it? It's Mel Gibson, isn't it? Mel Gibson.
And basically, you know, with a video crew and some journalists, and she said, I need a photographer I can trust.
It's Mel Gibson. He's come to do a cameo part in the updated version of Mad Max that they're filming, right?
Hey, I know one of the actresses who's in Mad Max in the next one.
Really?
Yeah, she's a voice artist that we use quite regularly at the radio station. She was in a couple of weeks ago, and she was all excited, and, you know, she couldn't say much about it. And I said, oh, that is so cool. Yeah. I said, you got a role in there? And she went, yeah. And she said, and my character's storyline crosses over with Charlize Theron's character's storyline.
Charlize Theron's in it?
Yeah.
Cool.
So, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, yeah. I guess you heard all about why they couldn't shoot it this year, right?
No.
Well, they were going out to like Broken Hill, Wilcannia area, and they were going to shoot out there. Hmm. And they've got out there in the wintertime, and because of all the rain, there's like wildflowers everywhere.
Oh, it's lovely.
And George Miller's gone, well, this doesn't look very post-apocalyptic.
No.
We'll come back next year.
Oh, yes, the flowers survived the nuclear Armageddon. Yes, flowers do that. They're very resilient flowers.
Yeah, so anyway.
So anyway, back to your story. So you've got basically, that's about all you can really say, or, you know.
Still got to nut out all the details, but yeah, so it looks like.
So will Kath get to meet Mel?
I don't know, mate.
Oh, okay. All right. Or is it Hugh Jackman?
Oh, my God. I wouldn't be able to keep Kath away if it was Hugh Jackman.
Okay. Yeah, well, better not be then, you know. Fair enough. Well, I suppose our women are allowed to have their fantasies too, aren't they?
That's it.
But, you know, yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, that's great, mate. I'm really glad for you. These things, look, you put it out into the world.
That's it.
And it happens.
Yeah.
You know? Just takes a little bit of time, and for some longer than others, but you are Bruce Williams. It won't take as long as it would for others. It's just a little
bit. I don't think that's anything. I don't think I'm any different to any other wannabe professional photographer.
Oh, yeah, but you're a little, you're very positive, and you're a good shooter, and you put it out there. You're a good guy. Nah, it'll happen. Happens to, you know, good people.
You know, thank you, mate. Happen.
I'm serious. You're going to do well, mate. You're going to do really well. Here's proof. You've done what Dane Sanders says in Fast Track Photographer. You've sold yourself.
Yes.
You know, and you took some great photographs, but you've made a relationship with this woman. You're the devil she knows, and bam, she's going to come to you. You know. Have you been enjoying the book Fast Track?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm about five chapters into the audio book.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I haven't had time to look at it or read it, unfortunately, and since last we spoke.
Right.
So you're about four chapters ahead of me. but it's a pretty darn good book.
It is. You know, it is very good, and I highly recommend it. Yes. I even dropped it, Dane an email.
Yeah.
And I said, that was the subject, we're talking about you. And I said, look, you don't know me. My name's Bruce Williams. I co-host a photography podcast called Shutters Inc., blah, blah, blah. And I said, a few weeks back, my co-host Shelton bought your book and, you know, raved about it and just thought you'd want to know. And he wrote back and said, thanks, I'm honored.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's all he said. That's all he said. To, you know, all this free advertising we're giving the guy. Oh, that's it. This book's crap. Just, you know, honestly, don't even bother buying it. It's a whole lot of rubbish, you know? No, it's a very good book. Dane from all I hear, is a really good guy. So, but look, if you haven't, if you are, and we said this in our last work podcast, if you are thinking of starting a business, you have started a business, your business isn't working or isn't working as well as you want it to, I would really, as you know, Bruce just said, recommend a fast track photographer, aptly named, because that's basically what Dane intends to do. He wants to fast track you into being, you know, a pro or semi-pro, whatever your, you know, aspirations are. That is what this book is all about. So if you are online, fasttrackphotographer.com, if I remember, Bruce, is that correct?
I think it is. Yep.
And just go there, download the book, pay for the thing, and really it's worth every cent. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got lots of really practical things to say about the business and the life of a photographer. He actually talks very little in the book about, or if at all, about photographic technique.
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
I can't remember a single thing he's actually said about photographic technique.
No.
Because, in essence, he's saying that really, provided your work is good, doesn't matter. You know, it really doesn't matter, because he's suggesting we sell other things. So check it out, and it really is it's an excellent publication for the so many of, you know, our listeners who would love to earn some money from photography. The amount of photographers, I'd say, that are around now and working to varying degrees would be several fold what I've ever been used to in my career. And things like Facebook, you know, are making their lives easier, are making their social networks stronger, also getting their work out there, blogs and websites. It's the age of photographers at the moment. It really is. I remember starting out, I used to dream of having a life like this, you know, used to dream, you know, but we had to, trudge around with our portfolios in the old days, you know, we didn't sort of basically have anything online or whatever, but man, you know, if you're a photographer now, you have everything at your fingertips, everything from Flickr to Facebook. Yeah. And, you know, it works. It really does work. The only problem is, of course, we're much smaller fish in a very big pond now.
Yeah.
So why Dane reasons the way he does is because there are so many, there are thousands of photographers out there that people can choose from. Who are they going to choose? Well, the one that they've established a relationship with. The one that, you know, is the person that they like working with, whose work they rely on. And that's where you are the prime example of that right now.
Well, thank you.
No, it's what you've done. It's very clever. Very good.
What I need to do is I need to ask Laurie if she knows anyone who does anything internationally rather than just locally.
Oh, really?
I need to be able to find a way that I could monetize a trip to Egypt next year. If I could find a way where I knew I could earn some money back off it, that would kind of justify the expense.
Well, calendar?
Yeah, need something a little better than that, but...
All right. Well, I mean, calendar and, well, whatever else you come up with, but that would be one...
Yeah, calendar would certainly be one way of doing it.
You know, I mean, it all depends how much you want to make, but, you know, Egypt is a very popular location. It's very popular in calendars.
Yeah.
There are people who just love Egypt. I mean, you take Molly Meldrum, for instance, who in Australia is very well known in the music industry.
Yep.
He is a serious Egyptologist.
Is he really?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. He is fascinated with Egypt. His house is filled with, you know, Egyptian artifacts and decorations.
Wow.
He's a serious Egyptologist. So, and I mean, he's not, you think of Molly Meldrum and you think the music industry.
Yeah.
You know, who doesn't know in the music industry ain't worth knowing.
That's it.
But no, he's fascinated with Egypt. And he's among many who just find Egypt, its ancient culture, its ancient religion, its ancient mysteries, and its basic, its history, absolutely fascinating. It's that place in the world where every single empire has had an impact. You know, everyone from the Greeks and the Assyrians to the Romans, right down through to the, you know, the British and the Turks. Everybody's had a bash at Egypt, even the Germans, even Germans, even we had our chance. It's just a fascinating place. And the history there is, everything from, you know, German battles and, you know, Rommel and Monty and all those kinds of things. Way back to, you know, the Exodus and all those ancient biblical stories. So it's a fascinating place.
Do you know, I remember hearing my art teacher when I was in about year 10 or year 11 of high school telling us a story. I don't know how accurate this is or whether any of the facts have sort of been distorted over the retellings, but he was telling us that Hitler was absolutely incensed that there was any other entity in the history of the planet that would have a monument erected to their memory larger than had been erected to his. And so he ordered Rommel to destroy the Pyramid of Cheops. And
really?
Yes. Well, so our art teacher told us. And so Rommel sent this entire division of panzer tanks and they surrounded the Pyramid of Cheops and they blasted away at it for a week and they damaged something like 20 blocks.
Really? Oh.
In a week.
I'll have to research that. I've been to Cheops and I've never heard that. High hopes.
What's that?
He'd have high hopes. I mean, anyone who's been to Cheops knows that it is jaw-droppingly huge.
Yeah.
Hundreds and thousands, well, they estimate 2.5 million or something blocks in the thing.
Yeah.
A great majority of which are the size of a double-decker bus.
Yeah.
This thing is absolutely huge. I can't even remember how big it was. All I remember is standing underneath it and being, well, dwarfed is not the word, molecularized by the size of this thing, that I couldn't understand how they would deem it possible that any human force could destroy the pyramids. I don't know. I'd have to. That would be interesting. I haven't heard that one, but I'm going to do my research now. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised with the stupidity of that lot that they would. That I really wouldn't, you know, the stupidest regime on the planet. Unfortunately, they are, you know, I'm still a German citizen, so they're my countrymen, but we were all ashamed of that era in our history because that was just the whole thing completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Stupid, you know. Not even possible.
I've never been over there, so I've never seen how big they are in real life, but I've seen plenty of photos. But if you want to get an idea of just how big the pyramids are, look at them on Google Maps.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Because you can be like 10 miles up from the surface of the planet and you can see almost half of North Africa and you can still see the pyramids.
Yeah, they are huge. Basically, you see, they're huge. Cairo comes to an end and then bam, there's these thumping, great, big, triangular things.
Yeah.
And we say this because, of course, we're running a Egypt workshop next year. And so, you know, by all means, feel free to inquire. I still haven't got dates and prices confirmed, but I'm going to be contacting them early next week to see what's going on, but I'll definitely mention it in the next podcast. That's my plan. But it's an incredible place to photograph. The variety of things to photograph and not just photograph, but experience.
Yeah,
is just amazing. So it'd be great to have you along, Bruce. Unfortunately, I can't finance you coming along. But,
no, I know that.
Not that rich just yet, but I'm working on it. but it is, if you are thinking about Egypt and you want to photograph the heck out of it, come with us next year. Me and Bruce and a few other dudes. Fun.
All right, mate, should we wrap it up?
Yeah, we'll wrap it up, I reckon. We've talked about some good stuff. Hmm. So, let's do that. And I might have another glass of I think I'll have a wee drop of the Baileys.
Nice.
Yeah, we drop it at Baileys, you know. Nice. Finish up.
Now, listen, we have a wedding to photograph tomorrow, so I'll get an early night and a good night's rest, and off I go for Belinda and Matt's wedding tomorrow.
Fantastic. Yeah. Oh, good luck with that.
Thanks, mate.
Now, we haven't had a lot of emails of late, so if there's anything you would like to ask Shelton or myself, or anything you just want clarified or revisited or whatever, please drop us an email, theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.
The boys. Did you spell that DAVOYCE?
Should have, shouldn't I?
Yeah, the boys.
No, regular spelling will be fine.
The boys. All right. The boys at shuttersincpodcast.com. Fantastic. We look forward to your emails, and if our podcast is getting extremely boring, that's your fault. That's all I'm...
It's all my fault. Email.
It's not our fault. No, we're incredibly interesting people. No, they're just not giving us, they're not asking us any questions anymore.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yep. So it's their fault. It's our it's our listeners' fault. You know?
Of course.
Get your act together, people. That's all I'm saying.
All right, mate. I'll talk to you next week.
Bet. No worries.
See ya.
Yeah.
Shutters Inc. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.